Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mountains. Your judgment is deep.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
In your light, we see light.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord. Let us confess our sin, clinging God's promises of forgiveness in Christ. All of you, eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we may forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is steadfast in God's love for each one of us. God reigns with a transformative grace for all creation. Friends, receive the good news that we are healed and forgiven in God's sight. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me in singing the hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King, number 233. That is number 233.
Take your seats. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to worship at the Memorial Church of Harvard University. We have gathered today to praise God and to be emboldened by the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place. I am Alana Sullivan, the associate minister here, and on behalf of the clergy and staff, I want to extend a warm welcome to students and faculty and our regular worshiping community who have gathered here in person. We are extra excited to see you today after Harvard Yale and also on this cold and wet morning. Thank you for braving the weather. We are also delighted to be joined by our virtual community of worshipers, those who are streaming on the internet and those who are turning in on Harvard's radio station, WHRB. We feel your presence with us. At this time, I ask that our church school teachers come forward to collect our children for church school. We offer age-appropriate Sunday school for children's ages 3 to teenager years. Our church school staff bring their wisdom and care for our little ones. And I am delighted that our preacher for today is our very own Reverend Wes Kahn. He is our ministry fellow who oversees our faith formation programs for the little ones, the church school, for those that are young at heart, the Faith and Life Forum. Wes, we look forward to hearing the good news that you have to share with us this morning. And because of the holiday, I wanted to remind you that morning prayers this week will be held on Monday and Tuesday. And next Sunday, there is going to be no church school or the Faith and Life Forum. And we will be returning to our usual schedule on Monday, December 2nd. And on December 2nd, I also wanted to let you know that there is going to be an author discussion of Professor Stephanie Paulsell's latest book, The Religion Around Virginia Woolf. If you're wondering where Professor Paulsell is this morning, she is at the annual AAR conference, which is in San Diego. So she's in the sunshine while we're here in the rain. So we'll make sure to tell her that she missed a lot of things. But what I can also tell you about is that Stephanie has been working on this piece for years. It's been literally a labor of love. And so we're hoping that you're able to join us for this author discussion that's going to be at 5:30 at the Center for the Study of World Religions, which is by Harvard Divinity School. She will be talking about the book, and then she's going to have two colleagues who will also be reflecting on the book, Amy Hollywood and Terry Tempest Williams. And afterwards, there's going to be a party. So we really hope that you're there, able to celebrate our wonderful interim PUC minister. Also to note, we will be having our annual carol service on Sunday, December 8th at 5 p.m. and Tuesday, December 10th at 8 p.m. We hope that you're able to join us for this beloved tradition of music and scripture and holiday merriment. And here is also a world exclusive. It takes a long time to get a seat for these carol services. You have to show up at least an hour in advance to be able to find a seat. So if you don't want to have to wait for a seat, I have a ticket for you. We would love to have your help with ushering at either of the services, and we will actually save a front row seat for you. So if you are interested at ushering at one of our carol services, you can either see me following the service or our events coordinator, Jesus. And one last note. As we approach Advent and the holiday season, it's a time when we often talk about love and family and joy. What often goes unsaid is that this is also can be a time of melancholy, loneliness, and pain. And we want to hold you in prayer during this tender time. As you might know, there are actually prayer request cards that are in each of your pews where there are also the offering envelopes. We also have a prayer box that's in the narthex. And every week, the clergy and the seminarians read over these prayer request cards and we uplift them to God. These are just the ones that we received over the past couple of days. So my question to you is, how can we hold you in prayer during this season? So friends, our peace comes from knowing how much God loves us in Jesus Christ. And with God's help, we try to love and forgive one another as Christ loves and forgives us. So it is in that sharing of the peace of Christ with one another that we open ourselves to the power of God's love to heal our own brokenness and to make us agents of that love in the wider world. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You may take your seats. In our time of offering, we give in grateful thanksgiving for all that God has given to us. And in this upside-down world of the gospel, we measure our wealth not by what we have, but what we give away. The collection will begin at the back of the sanctuary. Let us give our offerings to God in gratitude and praise.
Though the waters there are great and swell, be seated. A reading from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning at the 11th verse. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Here ends the lesson.
The Lord of hosts. from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, beginning at the 33rd verse. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. Holy One, ruler of all creation, as the shepherd who cares for the flock, O God, you guide all things through Jesus. Hear the prayers we offer in Christ's name. Lord of love, we pray for those who are traveling this week, that all may be safe in their comings and goings. And yet we know there are many who will not travel to be with family. We pray for those who long to be with their families and are unable to, and for those who feel estranged from their families of origin. We pray that you may banish the cloud of isolation and that all may find belonging and joy. Lord of justice, we pray for wisdom and discernment for our nation's leaders. Each day the news can bring us despair and confusion about how to act in the face of chaos and injustice. In the midst of uncertain times, we ask for peace in our hearts and moral vision to imagine a better future. Lord of peace, rule over all the earth, that wars may cease and all be prayer and praise. Lead your people into freedom, releasing the world from despair and hatred. Inspire us, that we may have strength to continue to work to your kingdom of peace and justice. Lord of life, we pray for those that mourn. As we approach a season filled with family time, we pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones. We mourn the loss of so many lives lost to senseless violence. We pray for the survivors and the loved ones of victims of mass shootings and of acts of violence against individuals because of the color of their skin or their gender identity. We plead for an end to such violence, trusting in your faithfulness. Grant us the will to work together with you to end this violence. On this Sunday, when we celebrate and remember your sovereignty over all creation, keep our hearts and minds attuned to your will. You are our refuge and strength. Make of us a just and righteous people, transformed by grace to inherit with Christ the kingdom of light and peace, where he reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now please join in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Spirit of prayer. O God, open my lips and make right my heart, that my mouth would proclaim your praise, and that the thoughts and meditations of all of our minds would be pleasing to you, Lord, our Creator, our Christ, and our sustainer. Amen. One of my earliest encounters with a monarch, with a king, was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Growing up in rural Pennsylvania, with fields, forests, and Amish as neighbors, meant that our selection of TV channels was limited to about five. One of which happened to be PBS. I vividly remember the colorful sweaters and the ease with which Mr. Rogers tied his shoes. This was an amazing feat to my six-year-old self. Most exciting, though, were the trolley-led visits to the neighborhood of make-believe, where a host of curious characters waited, including King Friday the 13th. King Friday often appeared perching from his blue castle walls, his gray hair peeking from beneath his shiny gold crown, and a purple cape draping his slender shoulders. There was always great fanfare at his arrival, complete with trumpeters signaling his significance. From what I can remember, though, his presence in the neighborhood made me uneasy. King Friday was a man of rules. Everyone bowed or curtsied to him, and he used words too big for me to understand. Most notably, he enjoyed being right. And when he was right, his guests always responded enthusiastically, "Correct as usual, King Friday." King Friday made me feel out of place. To confirm my memories of a pompous King Friday, I came across a dialogue between he and Mayor Maggie. It goes like this. King Friday declares, "I am about to make an announcement." Mayor Maggie responds, "Can we help you, King Friday?" King Friday says, "Of course." So Mayor Maggie asks, "What can we do?" King Friday answers, "You can listen." Like King Friday, the terminology of Christ the King seems a bit arrogant and, for some, unwelcoming. In the seasons of the church, today is remembered as Christ the King Sunday. It's even printed on the front of your bulletins. Sometimes churches instead call today the Reign of Christ Sunday. Our Roman Catholic sisters and brothers refer to today as the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. We seem to be a bit unsure of kingly language and its place. Maybe this is why we can't seem to agree on a title. The origins of the feast day of Christ the King are recent, having been initiated by Pope Pius XI in 1925. Comparatively, other church seasons, like Advent, have been around for hundreds of years. In the aftermath of World War I, Pope Pius was acutely aware of the widespread grief and power vacuum left by devastated governments and institutions. Despite an armistice, peace was yet to be achieved. Class divisions and nationalism were on the rise in war-ravaged nations. Pope Pius hoped to remind the church of God's supremacy and that peace was only to be found under the kingship of Christ as Prince of Peace. Mindful of the ways human kings left a harmful mark on the world, Christ the King Sunday is about something different. It's about God's love for the world. Today is also the final Sunday in the liturgical year before we begin a new liturgical season, Advent. In a way, this is the church's New Year's Eve as we await the arrival of a new liturgical year next Sunday. The lectionary readings for today, they are a bit jarring, but they fittingly bring us to the crucifixion, a place in the Christian canon where we can see just really who this Christ the King is. And he is nothing like King Friday. Calling Christ King, yes, it can sound archaic. It might conjure images of a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, whose picture often communicates exclusion rather than inclusion. King language to many of our ears might create timbers of patriarchal oppression. Christians, when speaking of king and kingdom, we have a history of violence and forced conversion. Addressing Christ using the title king tends to have resonances of Christian triumphalism, all at the expense of others. We at Harvard, we tend to be quite fond of titles. Not only am I Reverend, I am also the Reverend Wesley Kahn Ministry Fellow in the Memorial Church. Professor Paul Sell, her title is the Interim Pusey Minister in the Memorial Church and the Susan Shallcross Swartz Professor of the Practice of Christian Studies in the Harvard Divinity School. Sometimes the person behind the title gets lost. The focus becomes the title, not the person. A few weeks ago, I had a humbling and deeply moving experience as I helped to compile the list of this congregation's beloved dead to be remembered for All Saints' Day. It is practice in the Memorial Church to not include the titles of persons on this list, only their names. As these titles disappeared, I got a sense of the beauty of those whom we were remembering. And people are so much more than their titles. If we are more than our titles, more than Reverend or Reverend Professor, then the incarnation, God's coming to dwell among us here on earth, tells us that Christ, too, is more than his title. There is a person behind Christ, the King. The scriptures, they tell us that when he was born, his mom and dad, they laid him in a cradle, and they named him Jesus. The name Jesus meaning the Lord saves. When we look behind the title, if we take King and set it aside just for a minute, we see a person who forgives in only a way that God can forgive. The person behind the title, they notice the marginalized, whether they are gathering water at the well alone in the heat of the day, or if they're climbing high in a sycamore tree just to catch a glimpse. Jesus, the person behind the title, invites us to a place where love is freely given, even to a foolish son who asks for his inheritance, only to spoil it on vanity and vice. There are other stories about Jesus, stories that say he is like a shepherd who has a lot of sheep, and he cares deeply about each and every one of them. And if even one goes missing, he goes to look for it. Jesus, the King and the Christ, is the kind of man who is like a woman who has a collection of 10 coins. And when one goes missing, she tears her house apart just to find it. Friends, Christ the King is not good news unless we know something about the quality of the person behind the title. We are accustomed here to a system of titles that confer power and take it away. Perhaps today we would do well to remember the person behind the title. I don't know whom Mr. Rogers had in mind when he created King Friday the 13th to rule over the neighborhood of make-believe. I do know that Mr. Rogers, himself a Christian, was able to give hope and love to a world in desperate need of peace. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, what might you be able to proclaim to a world still in need of peace? Amen.
Christ is made the sure foundation, number 262.
Into the world in peace.
Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good, and render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the afflicted, and honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.